Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1246B, and as you know, the B's are always wonderful guests, and we have one for you today, Jean Alfieri. She is the author of 21 Ways to Weather the Loss of Your Pet, an idea guide to grieving and healing. Before we get to her, I just want to say that our sponsors are as usual, LifeFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as Dye Rescue. And the other sponsor is LongevityPlaybook.com, LongevityPlaybook.com. Go there to sign up for the free newsletter. By the way, her website is dogauthor.com, dogauthor.com. Jean, I know how you got into this, but tell our readers how you got into this subject.
Sure. So my husband and I have adopted senior dogs for as long as we've been together, and we're going on 20 years now. So he brought a dog to the relationship, I brought a dog to the relationship, and we found that we love senior dogs. So unfortunately, buying dogs older in life, they will pass away. And, you know, there were some coping things that we did to get through every time, just a little different. And I was visiting a second grade class a number of years ago. I'm also the author of a children's collection of books. And one of the little boys raised his hand and asked me if I ever had a dog that died. And my heart just felt for him because I understood the anguish he was feeling. And although I didn't intend to start a second grade therapy group that day, the conversation went really well. And I realized then that we struggle with it. We struggle with it with our kids. We struggle with it ourselves. Sometimes seniors, elderly people can struggle with it and that not even be seen because they might be losing the last living family member that they have. And we really miss that. We miss and don't appreciate all that could be involved in that. And so that is what inspired 21 Ways to Weather the Loss of Your Pet.
So it was your own feeling with the child, but also you had weathered the loss of a number of dogs at that time. How have you changed over the years since you have adopted a huge number of dogs, I understand? So obviously you've had dogs that have passed on. How have you changed your own practices?
Yeah, so there's one thing that we have consistently done through the years, and now that our son is grown and out of the house, it's just my husband and I, but when a dog passes, we celebrate their life at dinner that night, and we talk about all our fond memories of that dog, and it never fails. We're laughing, we're crying, and it's just such a neat way to honor them because I wouldn't think of half of the stories that my husband or my son come up with, and they wouldn't think of mine, right? Because we all have our unique memories of the dog. That has been a consistent, and I highly recommend it because it really is just a nice way to honor the pet. But most recently, last fall, our Airedale, Sally, passed away. And that is really what, if you will, kicked me in the butt to get this going because I'd been thinking about it for years. But grief is just a very hard subject to deal with. And she tipped me over. We had gone on a streak of 4 years at that point, not having lost a dog. And this was my husband's dog. He loves the big breed dogs, and he had Airedales growing up. But it tipped me over losing her. She's such a big personality, and you know, we loved having her, and for all she was to the little dogs as well, she was a great superstar big sister. So I realized then that I really needed to get this going. And what I discovered with her was I composed a eulogy to share on Facebook because regularly people would ask how she was, knowing she was suffering with an inoperable cancer. And I just couldn't bring myself to let people know individually that she'd passed. And I thought it a tribute to her because eulogy in the word means high praise. And isn't, you know, if it's worth it for a person, to me, it's worth it for a pet. And so I composed a eulogy and shared it on Facebook. And that was the first time I'd done that. But some of them, you know, there are different ideas that resonate in different ways with different people. And that's why the book is 21 ways. I don't expect anyone will use all 21, but there will be some that speak to people differently than others will.
Ow. Some of them are relatively unique. The one that you have as the constant, of course, is this dinner eulogy, if you will, celebration. But you also talk about lighting a candle. Tell us about lighting a candle. And by the way, for families, I think this is a really wonderful book to look at as your dog gets older, because especially if you have kids, you'll want to do something that modifies the risk of the death for the children. At least I think that's a major focus. So tell us about the candles.
So I recommend, if there's a time of day that you would normally spend with the pet, if you went on a walk in the morning or the evening, or even their dinner time, breakfast time, whenever they are fed, in that place, right, because we miss them more at certain times of the day when there was a ritual around what we did, whether we looked at it that way or not. But to light a candle during that time is very special, because it could signify, for me at least, that I miss them, right? It's just a recognition of the time we spent together and that I still wish they were there. And so the candle, and if you have kids, an electric candle, even if you don't have kids, I prefer the electric candles because then I'm not worried about it burning down. And it's just a nice way to remember the animal.
Now, I should remind people, we're talking to Jean Alfieri, who's the author of 21 Ways, and 21 is the number 21, but it's 21 Ways to Weather the Loss of Your Pet, an idea guide to caregiving and healing by Jean Alfieri, Alfieri. And the easy way of finding her is dogauthor.com, dogauthor.com. Jean, some of the other triggers that I thought were really nice is one of which relates to, I would call it a holiday, or what you do on holidays, if you would spend it specially with them. And I guess the Christmas story is one, but go over what you do, and also what's the difference between a cat and a dog in how you celebrate?
Yeah, so really it is your relationship with whatever pet it has. It may be a cat, it may be a dog, it may be a bunny, and horses too. People have great bonds with horses. So it's a matter of when you consider the grieving process, and I'll offer, doctor, that in researching this, I found that animal loss is considered a non-loss or an insignificant loss, because one, it's just an animal, and two, it can be replaced, which I find highly offensive. And anybody who has a pet knows that's simply not true. But we do go through all the steps of the grief process. And in when I talk about triggers, it is common, and it's okay if you feel like you've moved through one stage to the next, to then find yourself back mourning the dog again. So for example, if the dog passes early in the year, and you are working your way through that loss, and you get to Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you find yourself missing them and longing for them all over again, that's natural. You go back and repeat a stage, and that's absolutely fine, because you couldn't anticipate in February or March that you'd be missing them again in December. But like, we have our family pictures with our whole fur family. So if someone is missing the next season, you're going to miss them. I experienced this just last month, because only in the warm months do we go out on the front porch to sit. You know, when it's cold, we don't go out. Well, I got all the chairs and I got all the dog beds and I went and sat out on the front porch, and Sally was missing. I didn't need her dog bed, because last fall, when the last time we went outside, she was there. And I went, oh, you know, it's just, you're sad all over again, but it is natural and it is okay. And I think the other important thing to consider as a family is that you're going to grieve differently. People will grieve differently. Moms and dads are going to grieve differently. When I lost our first pug, and God willing, there will always be a pug in the house, but when the first pug passed, he had been blind. And so we didn't move things in the house. The shoes were set by the front door. We didn't change the furniture. We didn't move things around so he could get around. And he did. He got along famously. But the day after he passed, my husband and I went to the gym. We came home and Josh walked through the kitchen to get a drink of water, dropped his gym bag in the middle of the floor. I was offended by that. He wouldn't have done it had Wyatt been there. And I just wasn't ready to acknowledge Wyatt being gone yet. And I stood there and I went, really? Because you're going to put this here where Wyatt can trip over it? And he came over and he gave me a hug. I know. He came over and gave me a hug and he goes, uh-oh. I go, yeah. And he goes, the dog bowls, I said, are going to stay right where they're at. And he said, in his toy box, I said, it's going to stay right where it's at. And his harness and his leash, I said, right where it's at. I just needed some time. Some people prefer to pick everything up and put it away. It helps them. It's a part of their process, but not everybody. And for me, that would have been not seeing his presence in the house would have been more heartbreaking. And so acknowledge that for each other and recognize that we're going to go through this differently and be gentle, be sensitive with that.
One of the points you didn't cover, at least in the part of the book I read, is how long it takes to get grieving for a dog or cat in general. And I want to come back to the dog versus cat in a few minutes, but in human grieving, it's almost always with a major loss, whether loss of a job or loss of a person, it's a two-year process. And amazingly, with all of the patients I have who've lost a spouse or parent, that 2 years is a pretty consistent factor. What is it with, I didn't notice the time factor with animals.
No, and in my studies, I've not found anything that indicated with animals what that time frame may be. I did learn about complicated grief, and that is, of course, when you're just packing it down. You don't want to deal with it. You're going to push it aside, and that surfaces when you least expect it, and not recommended to do that. But we try to do that a lot with pets because we think people won't understand. And in all fairness, sometimes they don't. You need to surround yourself with people who get it. But we don't acknowledge it when you consider bereavement policies at places of work, right? We allow for time of immediate family. We don't allow time in many situations for pet loss. So pet loss becomes problematic when people decide they don't have to grieve. And you really do. So I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that question. I will say I've met some people who, I met one woman in particular at a book signing, and she wanted to know what I was working on and why all the dog books and this and that. And I explained to her I was in the process of working on this one. I said, this is a tough one for me, but I really feel like it could be beneficial for folks. And she kind of did the hard blink, and I knew she was thinking. She just kind of looked at me. And she said, my granddaughter lost her cat 3 months ago and she's still not over it. And just her tone was a little judgy. And I'm like, have you asked her what she misses most about that cat? Have you opened up any discussion? And I wondered if anyone else in the family expressed any sorrow for that cat having passed. Because if now you have a girl who's 15, 16 years old, really had a bond with that cat, and no one is acknowledging that the cat's even gone, how do you get over that? How do you express your grief? And I feel like that will contribute to how long it's going to take you to get over it if you do, because it's all built up and there's no release of it. There's nowhere to express it.
By the way, I appreciate your answers and your both experience and thoughtfulness. I'm talking with Jean Alfieri, A-L-F-I-E-R-I, thedogauthor.com. And this is, of course, 21 ways, and that's the start, the number 21, 21 ways to weather the loss of your pet. What's the difference between a dog and a cat? Is there a difference in how grieving is usually done or in what you might think of the difference?
Yeah, I have not noticed a difference in how people will grieve the loss of a cat and a dog. They're all precious to us in different ways. Dogs, obviously, in just how we care for them, need more attention. Cats prefer to be on their own. It was kind of interesting because in the research I did, they talk about the history of domestication even between the breeds. Dogs were estimated to be domesticated about 10,000 years ago. Cats, 9,000 years ago, because they chose to be domesticated versus dogs. And when you look at their unique way that they complement our lives, even, dogs were first domesticated to help us with hunting, to keep us warm at night, and cats to get rid of rodents. They were the hunters. And so very interesting in their difference. And when you look at what dogs have become in our lives too, they're seeing eye dogs, there's comfort dogs, there's guide dogs and therapy dogs for PTSD in different veteran programs. don't often see cats in those roles, but people have said, right, this is what my cat does for me. So the relationship that we have with them is clearly different. How I have recognized or seen or learned how the grieving process is different, I haven't. People are just as grieved over losing a cat or a dog. And again, as I mentioned, a horse. Horses are very close companions, as are bunnies. Anybody will tell you, you know, right, their pet is unique to them and their style.
Right. And your book, when I was reading through it, reminded me of my daughter burying a pet hamster in the backyard. So that's right. We had a ceremony and a candle for that.
Nice. Yes.
In any case, we've been talking with Jean Alfieri, Alfieri, author of 21 Ways to Weather the Loss of Your Pet, an idea guide to grieving and healing. This might be something you give as a gift to someone who has a dog or cat that's ailing, and you know they will be going through the grieving process. This has been 1246B of You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We're brought to you by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of TruBiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. The latter really important for patients who are on GLP-1s. If they have problems when you increase the dose, or even every time you get a shot, a day before, the day of, and 2 days after, 60% relief from that with Dye Rescue, according to the data in the published studies. In addition, go to their website, LifeFirstNaturals.com, and you'll see the randomized double-blind studies on both Bovine Colostrum and TruBiotics, their brands, and how important they are. That's LifeFirstNaturals.com. And also go to LongevityPlaybook.com, sign up for the free newsletter that comes with a great cartoon every week. Thanks again, Jean Alfieri. Thank you. And of course, you, our listeners, this is why we do it. Thanks again. This is Dr. Mike Roizen saying, stay well. Remember, you've got the power to stay well. You are the best genetic engineer for you. Thanks again.